This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Dion, Pearl, and Danny.
Don't you dare.
Man, I just...
Why did you even think that?
Because I was watching... What's the song from Titanic the other day?
Do it. Don't you dare.
You say it.
He didn't have to go and wreck my day. I was already having a good day.
What's the song called?
My heart will go on.
And it is Serene.
It is. Well, that's what Autumn said to me. Serene, it's okay.
Own it, Serene.
No, I don't want to own it.
Why? It's a huge compliment.
Serene's had people follow her around the grocery store and
singing
say
the songs. And Nashville, you see.
They think pictures with her because
music
she's
people
Celine
live
Dion.
Here, so they really think it was me. Oh, man.
They think they're recognizing.
It makes me so sad.
Why?
But you are her doppelganger.
Don't be like that.
Yeah.
Serene's lovely.
Back in her day.
No, it's not like I just want to be me, not her.
Yeah, that's fine.
She's had a lot. Celine has lost too much weight, though.
And that's why, too. I think I don't really... Yeah, that's all right. I want to be nice.
No, she... Yeah.
You're like moving
on. She's gone through a lot. She's gone through a lot, Celine Dion.
Man, but she could tear it
Boy,
up back in
sing,
her day.
Though.
She opened heaven.
Yeah.
Anyways, so glad you all are listening yet again. And I had a funny thing that I had to share.
You did?
And, I mean, these are just the way life goes. And... I was, so my daughter, Scarlett, she is 10. Yeah, she's 10. And she comes into my office the other day and she's like, Dad, she's 11. My son just helped me.
Yeah, I don't know half the ages of my children.
Guys, I have four kids.
They keep growing. I can't help it.
I know. Leave me alone. she comes in my office and she says, Dad, how do babies, like, I get that they're in the mom's body, but how do they get there?
Oh, okay.
And she said, I think, and just so you know, I think I have an idea.
Okay.
And I was like, cool, well, let's start with what you got.
Okay.
And I always pictured my wife having this conversation with her, and yet there we were. And she goes, well, I could draw a picture.
Yeah.
And I was like, sold.
Okay.
And so I have to share, I don't know how I can describe this, but it was basically a picture. Like, it was like, you remember like when Prince became a symbol?
Yes.
And he's like the artist now formerly known as Prince, but he's just like this music note kind of symbol. It was just this abstract like symbol. And I was like, okay, babe, but it sort of made sense. Like there was
Did
some-
Did she have the right gist of it?
She had the gist. There were some intersections.
Yeah.
There were some intertwinings.
Was she totally like normal talking to you about it?
This was peas and carrots.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
It was so cool. And so, I said, well, babe, this is an artistic rendering that I think is spot on. I think you do understand more than a lot your age. So I actually explained to her, I'd explain it to you.
That's cool.
If you didn't know. And I told her the stuff, and her only comment was, so Serene and Pearl probably do that a lot.
Because we have a lot of children?
Yeah, I guess because you have a lot of children.
That's so funny.
You know, I didn't think it was because of your character.
You know, I got to tell you a story. I'm really glad you explained it in detail, and I think it's so cool that was just that normal father-daughter connection. But I was so proud of myself for explaining it to my children.
Yeah,
because I remember we were in the car and Meadow asked and Bowen was sitting there and I thought, well, this is a great opportunity, you know, and I'm really kind of open with all these things. And I explained it like this. Well, when two people are married, the man, the husband, gives the wife a gift and it's a seed.
Yeah, he does.
He gives the seed to her and she has a special egg. And so the seed goes into the egg, and that's how babies are formed.
Oh, you copped out a little.
I thought, man, they were nodding like, okay, great. So then, a few years later, Meadow comes to me and like, Mom, remember when you explained, you know, how people make babies? Well, I thought that Dad had an envelope with a seed, like a seed from a garden,
like a gift,
and he would give you this envelope. and you would take the seed and swallow it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how we were made. So you have to properly explain yourself.
That's so funny.
I explained it to her in detail.
I was never explained. I just knew it from the heavens.
No.
It's just like, you know, you know things in life. I
you just
know
forgot
it.
The source. No.
We
no,
would
I
never,
promise you.
I knew
it.
I tell you why we knew it, had to tell me.
I knew it because I was a pastor's kid and I spent so much time in Song of Solomon.
Oh, I knew it probably from Song of Solomon.
Well,
probably.
See,
from the heavens.
My 14-year-old son, David's here with us in studio today. Yeah. And I think this is probably a good time for me to explain to him
right.
on the way home.
Yes.
He's like his head. Some of our children know things too early because, you know, okay, you can delete this, Tim, if it doesn't go so well. But, but you know, there's a lot of babies being born on the hilltop lately.
Yeah.
All of the young cousins are getting married and they're having their first children.
15 well, and 16.
There was some very seemly, very safe, very lovely birth, small shots, very showing nothing. You know, just very good
sideways
angles.
Shot?
That sideways shot that just saw baby's head coming out, right?
Sure.
But nothing. Like, yes. And they were sent to me because it was privately sent because it was like, you know, very, very precious people in my life. So my little four-year-old, I'm like, all she cares about is babies. And I asked if it was okay to show them. Yes, it's okay. The people that sent them to me. So I showed it to her and she was thinking that I had given her the best gift of life to see these beautiful little cute, squirmy little babies plop out and then their little first crying.
Yeah.
You know, and she just loved it. Well, I didn't think much of it until the other day. My husband came down the stairs and said, is Solace okay? What's going on with her? I said, I think she's fine. What's going on? He said, well, I walked into her room and she had a baby doll under her dress and she was pulling it out and giving birth to it. She's giving birth to all her dolls upstairs.
Yeah, she is.
That's the best. But, you know, did your little girls always breastfeed their dolls? Did your little girls breastfeed their dolls?
No, they always, probably. I don't have a memory of that, but they definitely carried them about and played them.
Some of my 2-year-old sons breastfed too.
Yeah, they breast. Yeah, my boys tried to breastfeed.
Scarlett asked me when I told her this, she was like, do I have to do that? And I was like, no. I was like, if you don't want to. I was like, but you're going to eventually want to. I was like, right now, no. No, that's crazy talk, right?
That's so funny. But, you know, that's not what this party's about today. Eh?
Yeah, how did we even get there? Good old Dan.
Well, because Dan shared a good story. I found it really good and interesting. But I always like the sex stuff in the good, clean way. Okay, so we do have questions left over from that other day that we didn't get to.
Withholding comments. Oh, sorry. Please continue.
No, I feel like Hollywood stole sex from the husbands and wives that have been together.
Yes, I agree.
And the other ones, you know, not to belittle it, but they're the ones that should own it in the best possible way, the best way, where it's solid and it's awesome.
We're very open in our home too, not with details. That's for the dogs. Like that's not
details are for the dogs.
No details.
Speaking of dogs, I've got
no
a story.
Details and no people, like no names and no details. But we're very open to say, boy, one day you're going to be part of the married club and there is some fun waiting for you. Being married is the best thing in the world and God save the best, you know, for marriage. And so, but they're excited about it. And we're just very, very open about the fact that the married people have the best life.
Exactly.
Because then they're looking forward to that instead of thinking we have to have fun before we get married because look at mom and dad, how boring they are.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Sam definitely don't act boring.
No.
You guys need to get more rooms.
No, we like it on our couch.
We should do a whole podcast on why that is to be done in the container of marriage.
Yeah.
And why it's worth. Mm-hmm. Because right now, no one has any, I mean, I don't know anybody, any young person that has any idea of why they should. Only the Christians who are like, well, that's for marriage and that's like the ancient law. But like people who are not churchgoers, they're just like, what? Why would we not move in together? Why would we not have sex? Why would
so
we?
True.
And there's and they literally because if they're not in trouble with God, like if they're not believers, then what's their motive? Man, I have a very large, fat book filled with reasons in my head, of why this ancient sacred thing happens best in a container of marriage.
Yeah. And, so true, Danny. You know what? I feel like we should shove all the questions aside.
Yeah,
we should
go there.
We should go there because I've got so much to say on that. Mm-hmm. We've got so much health things to say, but just where you were, Danny, something that we talked about last week. Why should it be safe for marriage? Because, you know, if it's temporary, it really is never going to be the best. Mm-hmm. Because you learn to love. I was talking about that last week. You learn to love. And when it's years in the making, and when you go through trials with someone, even I will say sexual trials, when someone is sick or someone's hormones get burned out or someone goes through this and that, and you together and you work through all of that together, man, there's preciousness on the other side that you can never get when hormones are perfectly high and clothes just fall off and it's like a movie and nothing's accounted for in the long term.
And when you contend for something.
When you contend and when it's trial by fire, the gold that comes from that, that's why. That's just one of the many reasons why marriage is the perfect
place.
And
when you said temporary, I want to clarify too, because a lot of people are like, well, we're engaged. We're going to be married. This isn't temporary for us. But the thing is it's that waiting and that saving yourself for the time of commitment, you know, before God.
Yeah.
I feel like there is a blessing to the fact that God says, wait until it's before me, you know.
And of course, you know, I mean, you know, we're not trying to say if you slipped up before marriage,
But I just didn't want us to come across as like, well, as long as you're going to be together forever.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying that.
No, you weren't. I was just clarifying. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the biggest honesty, and I'm not going to use this word, flippantly, like people are like awesome, but it's not like awe-inspiring, you know. You can sort of abuse words, but so I'm gonna use the word tragedy, and I mean it in the sense that it is a life-altering tragedy that modern mankind practices, and that is the seemingly terror modern people seem to have about the spirit and the reality that there is transactions happening that we cannot see with our eyes. Mm-hmm. There are sacred spiritual souls, beings that inhabit these bodies of ours. And to simply pretend that your exchanges happen only in the physical body is to ignore thousands and thousands of years of truth. I think there has been a paradise lost in modern times. And so everyone is just looking around with no teachers, with no handed down sacred spiritual things. And so this is one of a thousand reasons, by the way, to keep sex in marriage. But there is a spiritual transaction. And you know, you're not going to get your measuring device out and prove that. Like, I'm not going to debate with some scientist about this. There's an exchange, you know. People used to call it soul ties, you know, like you're like intertwined with this person. Well, there's actually there is physics, and like the physical and the spiritual need to be reunited again.
Yeah, so true, Dan. Because people used to think they were separate. It's all gone away now. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, science has caught up. They're together.
And the things that we maybe 100 years ago would say, that's magic or that's spiritual, we don't have all the instruments, but we do have some modern instruments where we can now see particles and tiny things that used to be like a belief, you know?
Yeah, right.
I think the Socrates and Plato, they believed that the world was made up of tiny things, and they could never prove it. It was just this bizarre idea.
But then the Bible says it.
Yeah, and they probably had inspiration from there.
Yeah.
But when you are intimate, when that male energy and that female energy come together in intimacy, there was this view where it's like the man. Y'all just gonna just have to hang on for this one. The man gets in her and walks away, and it's more meaningful for her, and it was kept more casual for him. But what a lot of young men don't realize, and I'm going to spare you the physics of this, but you can research this on your own. There is an exchange. She gets in you too. And John's going to share it too. there is a giving of essence to one another. And I know I'm talking a little, you know, lofty, if you will, but there is an essence exchange. And there is a bonding that happens when those energies get into one another and become one. And you become one vibration, one frequency, mm-hmm. one energy, one...
And the very type that God has chosen out of everything in the earth to show his oneness that he wants with mankind.
It's,
which is
yeah,
huge.
It's this like epic of tale of all ages image of reality that's happening. And so when you exchange this material, you know, when you exchange this sacred experience and you do it casually and it's not walked into, it's not done in a container that is conducive for long-term life, long-term happiness. I promise you this, if you're living with your boyfriend or girlfriend, you've not gone before the community and you've not exchanged vows and you've not made a covenant, right? And instead you're just living together. And man, so many people I know are doing this and thankfully they don't listen to the podcast. but if you're doing this, most likely you also have anxiety or depression. Those two seem to follow people who are living together but aren't married. And they'll tell you out verbally, we are, this is fine. There's no big deal. But it's like, look at the pills on your bedside though. Like you're medicating for anxiety and depression. And while that may not be the only reason, that sort of like cart before the horse approach, that microwave approach, that partaking of sacred, beautiful things outside of a container that is most likely conducive for long-term happiness and success in those things is self-sabotage.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene and Pearl. Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. When we wrote our first book, we did a whole chapter, it's called Foxy Mama, on the health reasons, you know, for married sex. And so I was big into studying this for a long time, but it's very interesting because just in how incredibly it works on your immune system. You know, people that have frequent sex, which is considered more than two times a week or two times or more, they live along average longer than 7 to 10 years. Their immune systems are just like hundreds of times stronger than other people. They've done studies, and when it's casual sex or with not a partner that you're married to, all of these health benefits aren't nearly as protective.
Well, that's interesting. Well, actually, it's reversed because yes. in the what I love about the Bible is I love the fact that there's science and it actually can make sense of it all. But you know, the fact is that God chose to bless sex inside of marriage. He just chose to put a blessing to it, and then and almost a curse to it outside of marriage, where it actually brings death. You know, not tomorrow. But it does. It brings consequences and it brings death. But in marriage, it brings life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just what God decided to do. Yeah. And regardless of if we can work it out and see it or not.
Because it protects the family too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look around at society today and I'm not trying to make a perfect utopia here. Things happen, you know, sometimes husbands or wives leave and there's things that you can't reconcile. But I say that most of our problems today are because of absent parents in the home when there's just one parent and usually the male is gone. And God wanted the male to be there.
Yeah.
Well, for those children.
Yes. And, you know, we last podcast or one of the previous, we talked about sort of the mind, like should we use steroids or should we use like overnight pills that are sort of harmful for our body but give us those results? You know, and we talked about how the mindset is so backwards there to say, I'm going to do a short-term harmful practice to get me to a point to where I'm going to then live sustainably for 80 or whatever, you know, decades, that you're fooling yourself. Mm-hmm. And so there is something about the mindset that says, I'm going to cast off thousands, like let's set the Bible aside. I'm just going to cast off thousands of years of tradition and spiritual thinking about this topic. I'm going to ignore all of that. And here in 2022, I don't need my parents' religion, or I don't need the old ways. I'm just gonna live this lifestyle and not think about that. To me, is quite immature and ignorant on its own. Again, all spirituality aside, just to not even question why, for thousands of years before you blinked into existence here on the planet, why things were done a certain way. And by the way, the results and the of people in those times, the happiness measurements, if you will, mm-hmm. Versus what we have now, what we're calling a mental health crisis.
Yeah.
Like we want to talk about a mental health crisis as if we're all born with mental problems and ignore the literal laws of physics and spirit that we are breaking,
mm-hmm.
you know?
It's so true. And I love the fact that it's like a beautiful wine when you save it for marriage, right? It's beautiful and it's great. But I love the fact that wine can age and mm-hmm. age and age, and it just gets better with age. I was on a walk with my mum the other day, who's quite open with all of this too.
Yeah, mum's open.
She's in her 80s. And we've had a lot of weddings lately. She goes, oh, isn't it fun, all these weddings? She goes, but I feel sorry for these young couples, you know. They're off to their honeymoon. I think, oh, I feel so sorry. It's so much better now. We've been married for over 50-something years. We really know how to love each other, don't we? She has a little giggle. She's like, yes, it just gets so much better with time.
Well, because you know those young married couples are just horrible.
Well, you just, you know, bless them. They're wonderful. But you see, she's talking about an 80-something-year-old husband too, who's not the big, buff, muscly guy anymore, mm-hmm. but she was giggling a certain kind of little giggle that made her cheeks flush. But you see, it has become better with time, and like an aged wine, and it's not all about all the muscles anymore.
I tell you, it's something about,
deeper, and it's just as much brings flush to her cheeks.
But guess why? She knows its value, and mm-hmm. so she has contended for that value.
Yes, it hasn't.
And I have to say, you know, when we talk about sex at all, and to our audience, people our age, Serene, they've got children and they've got responsibilities and they've got so much going on. I think the major thing is, you know, of course we want to say, you know, keep it in marriage sex, but a lot of times women in our situations, they just don't want it anymore because they've lost their libido because of life and things like that. So I feel like we always have to bring it around to that,
yeah.
to encourage, you know, I sometimes feel like women said, oh man, okay, I'm going to be a good Christian and have sex with my husband, you know, and it's the last thing I want to do, but it's just tick it off my list. But I just look at it in a completely different way. It's always about the lens, you know, because if we do rely on just our feelings as women with children, with so much on our agenda, that perfect time doesn't happen. So I feel like it's something that we do. We look at it in a lens of, this is fantastic. This raises my immune system. This is how I love my husband. This actually keeps me out of depression. Women that have sex more than twice a week in marriage have far less depression, far less anxiety. It's for the health of us. It's for you. If you're listening right now, this is for your health, for your sustenance. So, I mean, you get a present from your husband, the zinc.
Merry Christmas.
It is brilliant. It raises your dopamine.
Happy birthday.
I mean, it gives you exercise.
There's also things that you can do practically. A lot of stuff we can do in the mind too.
Yes.
Like Pearl is saying, encouraging yourself. This is something to enjoy. This is something to look forward to and mentally gear yourself up for it. Not just say, well, I don't have those feelings anymore. I don't have any, those hormones have left me, blah, blah, blah. No, talk, like build, you know how we build our faith up? You build your mind up towards it also. But there are other practical things to do, because if you're in menopause as a woman, you can get on bioidentical hormones, which will change everything.
Yes, menopause does. What's that, Leslie?
Leslie, did you say zinc?
Yes, zinc is the present. Zinc is the present from the man.
That's one of the presents.
It's one of the presents.
Testosterone,
it's
not the only, right?
Yeah. It's just a bundle of like, it's
sanity.
An elixir.
It's an elixir that goes into
your system. I didn't want to just rush past that point, because people sometimes, it's great to build our minds up, but also people need to know that there are practical things that they can do. And if they, bioidentical hormones these days are affordable.
Yes.
And if you get the right doctor, it's all natural. It's not harmful for your body, and it will give you your libido back.
Yes, if wisely done, if wisely practiced, yes. It definitely will. Because when you do go through menopause, and even sometimes in perimenopause, your testosterone drops to zero, basically, or just not
and
far from
there.
And
your estrogen is also
estrogen,
going down.
Estradiol, such a big sexual, pro-sexual hormone. People think it's just testosterone. For women, it's even more estrogen than it is testosterone. But even despite those, I'm just saying, even if you, like, I went through menopause without bioidentical hormones, I'm on them now. And I felt the difference in the loss of my physical drive. It wasn't the same. It was completely different. And I was like, what's with this? But I still put my lens on the value, and it was still precious to me. Mm-hmm. And it was still something that I knew was good for my husband. I knew it was good for me. And so we continued.
Knew it was good for togetherness.
It's brilliant for togetherness. Actually, if you're married, you better be doing it unless there's really some sort of, you know, terrible, terrible illness going on. Otherwise, you're pretending you're married, because that's the difference between the relationships, all relationships. The married relationship has sex. That's what it does. And so it's perfect for togetherness. It is the togetherness. Mm-hmm. And so, but then I got my bioidentical hormones and, well, fantastic.
I heard that. So I wanted to give one other reason out of 100 I could give.
Your son picked the perfect haircut.
Yeah, I'm glad he's here.
Yes.
I keep, as we're talking, I keep reaching over and just dropping my hand on his knee. Just especially as certain things are said, I'll just lay a hand on his knee. Just feel that energy. So I want to give just one other reason, just for time's sake. And then share a little balance too.
Yeah.
Because I want to make sure, you know, it's easy and when there's things like this for people to feel judged or not loved.
Yeah, please share that. That's good. We don't want to be that.
Yeah, because you got to know Big Bro Danny is like your big bro who loves you so much and is like, dude, we can still party.
It's funny that you call yourself Big Bro now, because it used to be Little Dan.
Little Dan. No, I'm Big Bro.
Yeah.
Big Bro. Oh, yeah. Push-ups coming here in a minute too. So here's another thing is, and I think this might be more so for the women than the men. But I do feel like this happens with the men too, but more so with the women, is to be intimate, especially when you're young, when you're a young woman, that is big territory for you, to be intimate with a man. That is scary. That is a big step of trust, and there's a lot of fight or flight. Mm-hmm. What's that?
Vulnerability.
Yeah. Great word. Yes. There's a survival mechanism going on with making plans for the rest of your life. You know, there's a lot of psychology there. And when a young woman is saying, I now feel like I'm at a place with this man that I'm going to fully and wholly give myself to him. If she is doing that, but has not heard from that young man, I will be with you forever and we will never part. We will never divorce. There is this dual thing happening that's fighting against itself. And this is what I mean by anxiety. This is what I mean by the physics of anxiety. It's not God says so. Physically, something is happening in your brain. You are not receiving the security and the message from your man that comes from a covenant. Not him saying, I mean, there are people who sort of are in covenant before they ever have like a ceremony. Like, mm-hmm. I get that. Like, yo, we're forever and we're going to do a ceremony next year or something like that. Like, I still think ceremony first, by the way, because it's hard. It's also easy to be like, hey, we're just in covenant, like theoretically, right? I mean, no, go before the community. Tell her father, right? Tell the men in her life. While they're watching and recording it, you know, and while they're like, while there's someone up front saying, is there anyone who has anything to say? Is there a problem here? Does anyone, that's where that tradition came from. If any of you, you know, don't agree, stand up now. And like, mm-hmm. No one ever stands up. I bet people used to stand up.
I bet they did.
They would
right?
be like, no, she's I'm mine. Sorry. I was just wandering through the forest and I noticed Jim here is horseback riding down the aisle to carry Samantha away. Jim's a whoremonger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it was horse times and whoremonger, that was common
yes,
language.
Yes, it was. We'll let it slide for this.
He's a whoremonger. That's what they used back then. It just meant some saccharine word we use today. He was free-spirited. Mm-hmm. So, there. But see, in those ceremonies and in those covenants, when we call upon God, right, and we ask the community to hold us accountable, and that's really what a public marriage ceremony is intended to do, is to invite the people in your life to say, hey, attention community, we're about to walk on one of the top hardest things to ever do while you're on earth.
Yeah.
And that is stay in a long-term commitment with someone who we're going to confirm within 7 years that they're absolutely crazy and need medication.
It's
like
so
it's going to be, we're going to have proof. And it's going, we're going to have websites, we're going to have articles.
Yeah.
And we can confirm that they have mental issues from their childhood trauma, and we see it clearly, and we have none.
Yeah.
And they're going to be thinking the exact same thing about you. Mm. And I've told so many friends this, like, dude, when you come to that, that's called a relationship. That's called a marriage. Like, that's not a special fight you're having because you're not compatible. Mm-hmm. Like, you have been appointed to this. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the point I just want to say about the importance of this ancient weird thing called a covenant before you get intimate with somebody is there are spiritual but also very psychological reasons to make sure that the message, but before, especially young women, before you are saying, take all of me, make sure that the message has come first from him, that I will never divorce you, and you are worth all of me, and you are worth me standing in front of the public and saying, she is mine forever. And that, without that, we see a lot of mental problems in these young couples.
So good, Danny. You should go on a
speaking tour and sell books.
I'll show up. It's good, really good, Dan. People need to hear this. So good. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene and Pearl. Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. If we could study all of its incredible typology,
oh, yeah,
health benefits, all the blessings that go from God in a long-term, beautiful intimacy and marriage, we would still not know the half of what God's designed for it, I'm
Serene,
sure.
We haven't talked about planet creation. And like, there are so many beautiful, like, we can go deeper and deeper in these nuances. Like,
did you just say planet creation?
Planet creation.
Okay. Well, I was looking at my husband
particle
today.
Particle physics.
I was looking at my husband today, and I'm like, I just saw you sitting down with Arden. I'll 24-year-old son, and I'm like, boy, you know, that's a beautiful thing we made together. Wasn't that yeah, person saying that's a beautiful thing we made together?
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was doing a bunch of stuff, and then just before he left the house with our little 4-year-old daughter so I could come here, he was saying, oh, how did she get so cute? And I'm like, yeah, she's a beautiful thing we made together, isn't
yeah,
she? And it just occurred to me freshly today, we make really beautiful things in our marriage, and we create yeah, more yeah, than planets.
Yeah,
like, but we're created in our Father's image, and he's a creator. And he says, here, go get married and create your world.
I love that.
Charlie and I always tell ourselves, look at these beautiful things we created. Man, we're good together. I mean, it's just a bit of a, you know, revving ourselves up, but it's good.
Well, and I mean, I feel like we sometimes, with all of our entertainment, you know, it's like we can lose the magic. Like I'm forcing my kids, David knows, like, I'm like, you know what? Done. From now on, mandatory walks up the mountain to watch the sunset. Like what do we have? Oh, we're going to miss some show? I mean, what do we miss? Like dinner, sunset. Like that's the rule. And it's
it,
like, because we, I feel like we get busy in doing things, and it's always been this way. You know, we can always blame modern times, but the ancients struggled with this as well. You can so easily miss like the kingdom that's all around you. They're like, lay down in the grass. There's a mist that happens at sunset. There's little things that fly. Are they fairies? We don't know. We never look at them. You know, I don't believe in fairies. It's like maybe they're just really small, but they're totally fairies.
Yeah.
Like fantasy fairy tale fairies. And like we miss sacred magic, you know? And that's the thing, like if you'll open your eyes, there's sacred magic like all around you. Like just think about think about, it's like, oh, they had a baby. And, you know, you just swipe on to the next. Oh, yeah. My friend had a baby. It's like, do you realize that like that baby is more powerful than like the Andromeda galaxy? Like the stuff that is contained in that, like we had a baby, like the life that's contained, the power that's contained, the condensed literal
that's
solar energy.
That's what I think
energy.
About conception, right? It's so small. It's even smaller than the baby you hold in your arms. I'm thinking, how powerful is that awesome
Adams.
Living creation there with yeah. all of the future, but all of the information in there, oh, the condensedness of that?
Condensed, serene. That's what I'm saying. This condensed, like the power
quantum?
of a million suns mm-hmm. is now not vibrating so intensely. It has lowered its vibration. It is now forming into like form in mud and clay and like the things you can touch, the substance of earth. There is so much ancient beauty in all of these things that we take for granted and we treat flippantly and we treat like, well, don't judge my decisions. And it's like, that's what I'm trying to say about the balance side, is that this isn't about judging someone's decisions as being morally better or not. Like, let's get all the more, like, I'm not even talking morally. I'm talking about magic, talking about beauty. I'm talking about there's a way that leads to life. And you have to trust your ancient elders. You know, they knew this way, and we don't need to run away from it or be afraid of it.
So good.
So good, Dan.
I think we're done.
Yeah.